get one thing straight right off the bat today, and I mean, let's be crystal clear. All last night is a loss. That's it. That's the list. A loss and nothing more. I've seen and heard some talk about courage and fighting back and blah, 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 but all the Steelers did was lose. They scored 27 points in the fourth quarter and wasted it because they lost. But if you want something positive, let's look at Cam Hayward and Ben Roethlisberger. Those are two focused professionals. Those are two real Steelers. Those are two legitimate leaders. What the Steelers lack is followers. Cam ran that dude down from behind, and he batted that pass that got picked. Ben led the rally. He threw for 273 yards, three touchdowns, zero picks, and that's right after COVID. The O-line was brutal, the running game was brutal, but Ben kept him in it. Cam and Ben almost pulled it off. Cam and Ben almost won that game. That comeback was so improbable. If you say you thought it was going to happen, you are a liabetic. But you block a punt and L.A. turns the ball over and the Chargers soil the bed and Ben gets cooking, but you still lost. That's all you did was you lost. This is the Mark Madden Show. I work heel and I work stiff. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at MarkMaddenX. Now, if you want some negatives, the Steelers' defense was horrible. It was terrible. And that's because it was crippled by injuries, but that game was still there to win, and the defense couldn't do it. By the way, Devin Bush stinks. This was a game for Bush to step up in the absence of Watt, Fitzpatrick, and Hayden. But instead, Bush turned into Artie Burns playing linebacker. And they did miss Micah Fitzpatrick, especially on the last touchdown to Mike Williams for L.A. over the top, wide open. L.A. scored on their first five possessions. It turns out Taco Charlton isn't as good as T.J. Watt. Melvin Ingram would have been better than Taco Charlton. But he wasn't there. And on offense, the Steelers couldn't run the ball. 18 carries for 55 yards, and that's against the worst run defense in the league. That was a dirty hit on Najee, by the way. Helmet on helmet, and it goes uncalled. But the Steelers couldn't run the ball. Ben was under siege. Kendrick Green sucks. He gets pushed back all the time. Kendrick Green is so bad, you could tell he's horrible just watching the network feed. And that applies to Devin Bush, too. L.A. collapsed to let the Steelers back in it, but you got to finish the job, and you can't allow a 53-yard touchdown pass with 2 minutes left. I want your angst. Where's your angst? Call in with your angst, 412-333-WXDX. Are you ready to give up on them yet? They're not making the playoffs. They're not. They might beat Cincinnati, and then again, they might not. They might give you reason to believe because you're so easily fooled, but they're not making the playoffs. So give me your angst, 412-333-WXDX. I've seen a lot of people say that coaching lost the game. No, coaching lost the game against Detroit last week. I mean, tied that game. But coaching can't make up for the absence of Watt, Minka, and Hayden. It just can't. And I liked going for it on fourth and goal from the two on the Steelers' second possession. Don't get me wrong. Matt Canada once again proved he is horse manure as an offensive coordinator, a pure amateur at the job. But going for it on fourth and goal from the two that early, it was already apparent that the Steelers weren't going to win that game a field goal at a time. You need touchdowns when your defense is crippled, not field goals. And later on in the game, they finally ran behind the fullback and got a touchdown. Huzzah! I wish the camera would have been on the sideline. I wanted confirmation that Canada did or did not have a gun at his head. But the red zone play calling is just terrible. Just terrible by Canada. Got a break on that fourth down pass interference. That set up Najee behind Derek Watt, but Canada just sucks. So, now you got to get guys back, and you got to win at Cincinnati next week. The Steelers are now third in the AFC North behind Baltimore and Cincinnati. I saw all the Steeler media stooges saying, by nightfall, well, by midnight, I guess, they're going to be first in the division. But then Baltimore won, and Cincinnati won, and Cleveland won, and the Steelers lost. And now there the Steelers are in the AFC North standings behind Cincinnati. I'll say it again so you can absorb the true impact: behind Cincinnati. Justin Herbert was incredible, the LA quarterback. He threw for 382 yards and three touchdowns. He rushed for 90 yards. No NFL quarterback has ever hit both those totals in the same game before. The Steelers simply could not contain Justin Herbert. Twitter was bitching that the Steelers should have put a spy on Herbert. A spy, that's where one guy just follows Herbert's every move. A, you had a lot of guys who were limited, starting on defense, limited in talent and experience, and they were playing a lot. You had to keep it simple for their sake. And B, who's going to do it? Who's going to be the spy? Devin Bush? He can't even tackle. He's crap when it comes to the basics. He can't tie his shoelaces, and you want him to spy on Justin Herbert? I don't know, maybe Terrell Edmonds could have done it. But he's not exactly cerebral either. Like I said, the minute you assign somebody to spy, that changes the job of everyone else on the defense. And I don't think you could overcomplicate with that group. Maybe if you had Watt, Minka, and Hayden, you could. But if they have Watt, Minka, and Hayden, they win the friggin' game. So I want your Steeler angst. You shouldn't be mad. Last night was a game you expected to lose, but then again, you had a chance to win. So I want your angst, 412-333-WXDX. I was in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. The White House is very white, and the Washington Monument is very phallic. And that is America in a nutshell. That football game was effed up last night. I mean, it was fun, but crazy. I was at the bottle shop in Heidelberg, and it was rocking. That's one of the craziest football games I can ever remember seeing. Now, the important thing is, Liverpool Football Club won on Saturday, 4-0 over Arsenal, and the Penguins won at Toronto 2-0. That's a little thing I like to call the Daily Double. Baltimore almost lost. Cleveland almost lost. Cincinnati went to Vegas and kicked ass, so the Steelers were the only team in the AFC North that lost. And again, blaming the coaching is absurd. Last week, yes. This week, yet. People said the Steelers kicked the field goal too fast when they took the lead. But hey, here's an idea. How about don't let LA go 75 yards in 75 seconds and three plays? How about you don't let them do that right after you take the lead? How about don't allow a 53-yard touchdown pass to lose the game? If you're going to let them score quick. So Ben did get the ball back and then got sacked twice for 19 yards because the O-line blows. Not to be critical. Okay, we got Jeff and Andrew on hold. We'll get to them just around the corner. I want your Steeler angst. Don't forget, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. And we did a second Ric Flair podcast today. It'll drop on Wednesday. And nobody died. I should put a sign up saying X amount of days on the job without anybody being harmed. And when I say anybody, I mean me. Going great so far. 412-333-WXDX. We got Matt Williamson, our football guru, at 3:30. Phil Bork talking hockey at 4:30. But up next, Jeff, Andrew, your Steeler angst. They're not going to make it. No, they ain't going to make it. They don't make the playoffs anymore. 105.90X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
We're all going to rock to the rules I make.
Double M, big fan.
How you like it now, bitch?
DX at 105.9.
Wrestling with Freddy. Yeah, he can tell you about all the successful WWE storylines he wrote. As in none of the above. Ric Flair, Woo Nation Uncensored. When it comes to wrestling podcasts, that is all the people need to know. Steelers are 5-4-1. And you know, that's about what I figured. Maybe 6-4, 5-5. Nobody ever predicts a tie, but I didn't think they'd win at Buffalo. I really didn't think they'd win at Cleveland. But I thought they'd beat Cincinnati and Vegas both at home. And then the tie against Detroit, that's way off the rails. But they're headed about to where I said, 8-8-1. I said 8-9, but you know, when I say 8-8-1 right now, which of course will mean that Tomlin has never had a losing season. But I don't know where the three wins are going to come from. One better be at Cincinnati on Sunday. If they don't win at Cincinnati Sunday, it could all fall apart. They could really screw the pooch. But they always beat Baltimore at home. You know, I just love where this is headed. Let's go to Jeff and Aetna. Jeff, you're on with Double M.
Hey, yo, what's up, Mark? I just want to say I'm happy it's the 3 o'clock hour and you're on, man, because I listened a few minutes of the clown team on that other show.
Yeah, whatever. What do you want? What do you want?
Dude, Ben, I'm not going to put it on him for sure. I don't think the defense played good. I think his team's not going to win a playoff game this year. But
they're not
going
to be in a playoff game this year.
I agree. But what I think, Ben got lucky last night on a few splash plays.
Goodbye.
I don't.
Ben bailed his lame team's ass out. Ben did good despite an offensive line that blows goats. Ben and Cam. It was all Ben and Cam. They're the leaders. Not enough people follow. That leaves the line open at 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Andrew in Aliquippa. Andrew, you're on with Mark.
Double M, good day.
I said good day.
Yeah, I want to talk about Coach Tomlin's decision to go for two there on that second possession. I think
not
theory,
go for two, to go for a touchdown on fourth and goal from the two.
Right. I think in theory you're right, especially considering they weren't going to get a stop. The defense was hard-pressed to do anything against Herbert. I just don't know if the math backs that up. You kick a field goal there, you're down by 1 point, you're within one score going forward. What do you think about that?
Nah, I like going for it. I would have liked it more if they had scored the touchdown, obviously. But you weren't going to win that game 3 points at a time. And I think what happened after that confirms that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not wrong. Your reasoning is not wrong. They couldn't get a stop. I just think at that point you got a chance. You're within one score. And it would have been nice to have those 3 points.
Yeah, so you keep saying, but L.A. scored on their first five possessions. I mean, if I'm Tomlin and Matt Canada, I figure, look, my defense might not get a stop all night, which means we're going to lose no matter what, but the best bet is to try to get them 7 points at a time as opposed to three. And again, I think the way the game played out 100% confirms that. Let's go to Brian in West Mifflin. Brian, you're on with Mark.
Double M, my angst is with the Steelers fans mostly. These Yahoos, right? The Steelers are getting cheered for plays like it's third.
Yeah, who cares who gets goodbye? My God, there's so much to talk about when it comes to that game, and you're worried about who's cheering when? Shut up. See, that's what happens when I take the Steeler angst calls. I always get disappointed. Here's how bad Devin Bush is. It's time to put in Robert Spillane. Robert Spillane's like this ham and egger with no pedigree. Devin Bush just sucks. Can't tackle, can't cover, no football IQ. How come his dad don't call this show? His dad, I think, called one of the B-team shows to say, you don't know what Devin's supposed to do. You don't know his responsibilities. Yeah, I know whatever his responsibilities are, he's not tackling. So unless they told him, look, don't tackle, which I really doubt they did. I think they want him to tackle. So unless they told him, look, don't tackle, he is clearly not doing enough. Just around the corner, we got our football guru, Matt Williamson. He certainly got some splaining to do. It's the Mark Madden Show on 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Super genius, how you doing?
Good. Mace is always a component of any nice day.
Thank you for making my day.
Yeah, what you said.
The X at 105.9.
Steelers with a great comeback, but they lost. Joining me now to discuss last night's amazing game at Los Angeles, he is our football guru, former pro and college scout, Matt Williamson. Matt, what could the Steelers have done differently to contain Justin Herbert? Because he just carved him up.
He really did. And, I mean, they were so short on defensive talent that I think that's really the entire story of this game, more or less. And I don't mean to, you know, make it so obvious and so, you know, short-sighted, but that dictated everything in this game. I mean, the Chargers could move the ball on the ground, through the air, with, you know, off-script plays, any way they wanted. They just had much, much more talent. One thing, though, and I think you have to appreciate the immense talent that Herbert is and how good he is and what he's becoming, is they didn't rush the quarterback very smartly. I mean, he had massive running lanes to run through. I mean, all his rushes were on scrambles. Those weren't designed runs. You know, he just saw a huge lane, often against man coverage, took it and just opened it up and started eating up grass with those long strides.
Twitter mooted putting a spy on Herbert, but A, that's harder than it looks, and it complicates everybody else's job, and B, who could do it?
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, Bush can run with him, and Schobert's, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson, but I don't know that it's worth it in general. I mean, they had a hard enough time. They were a guy short on defense to begin with. You know, if you're going to spy someone, it's almost like you're going to play defense with 10 as opposed to 11. Where last night it looked like they were playing with 10 as opposed to 11 anyway. You know, so even Tomlin said, you know, we needed 7 in coverage to compete, basically. We 4-man rush wasn't enough. You know, there was no, you know, you couldn't blitz because it left you too short. You couldn't bring 4 because, you know, the coverage couldn't handle it. And I think that's 100% true. So something had to give, and certainly a spy was low on the list of things that they absolutely needed on defense.
Devin Bush looks lost and 100% ineffective. What's gone wrong there?
Everything. I really think it's maybe the most disappointing thing that's happened with this team throughout the season. And I'm not hoping he's injured, don't get me wrong, but if it can be explained away by he's still recovering from a knee, okay. But still, he aligns in the wrong place. He reads things poorly. When offensive linemen get on him, it's over. His coverage recognition is really poor. His size has worried me since day one. I mean, that's one thing nobody talks about. I mean,
his size worries me now. That maybe yeah. That knee surgery has cost him half a step.
Hey, right, because he's going to be so reliant on explosion and run-around ability because he doesn't have long arms to compensate for being short, and I think that hurts him in coverage as well as tackling. But the mental things aren't there. You know, again, to me it's inexcusable if you don't align in the right position and things like that. I just don't understand it. It's really disappointing.
As you alluded to earlier, though, the defense had no chance without Watt, Fitzpatrick, and Hayden.
No.
L.A. scored on their first 5 possessions. And they better get at least two of those three back, or I don't think Cincinnati's going to go much better.
No, 100% agree. You know, that Cincinnati's also a very balanced team that can attack you with really good receivers and also a good young quarterback from last year's class, or on the ground as they did with the Raiders. You know, they just ran the Raiders to death in the second half, and they can play it any way you want. Yes, I mean, they absolutely need one or the other of Minka and Watt. You know, we were just talking about rushing four versus dropping seven. I mean, it'd be an ideal game to blitz Herbert like crazy. But without Minka free safety, it's too dangerous. You know, I mean, or if Watt would have been there, you could get home with four and help the secondary people. They need at least one or the other. But in reality, they need both of them. They can live without Hayden, in my opinion. But, boy, he'd have been nice, too. Corners weren't great.
What happened on that last touchdown by L.A., the 53-yard pass to Williams? Who messed up and how? Because it was shocking, Matt, how easy that was.
I'm sure, yeah. And I don't have that answer. I got to be honest. It's been a weird
day. What did it look like? You can draw an educated guess.
Right. I mean, I think the easy guy to blame is Norwood, and he would say, if Minka was there, it wouldn't happen. And I believe that to be true, but I don't think the corner – again, I have to watch it again because I haven't got a chance to watch a game a second time, and I've been writing like crazy. So it's an odd day for me since it was a night game, and Thanksgiving week screws that up for me too. But clearly it was a miscommunication, and miscommunications happen more in coverage than I think people realize. And that's one of the beauties of a guy like Minka, though. I mean, people think Minka's having a bad year, but he makes up for a lot of errors in front of him, and the rookie couldn't.
It was an amazing comeback by the Steelers. You block a punt, you make a bunch of plays. It's a shame to waste it. It feels mentally worse to have lost the way they did than if LA had just followed through on the slaughter, but the Chargers fell apart and the Steelers wasted it.
Yeah, and really it's 2 weeks in a row of winnable games that you let slip, and you're watching teams like, boy, the Ravens. I mean, they have so many losable games that they've been getting out of with wins, and it's just, I'm not even sure who the better team is right now. Both of them always play, you know, close games, and one gets a bounce at the end, and the Steelers didn't in these last two. That didn't bother me as much last night, though, to be honest with you, Mark, because I didn't think the Steelers were ever the better team in that game.
No, that's a good point. It would have been kind of a fluky, stolen
right.
win, but it's a win they could have used. We're talking to Matt Williamson, our football guru. He's brought to you by 84 Lumber and by Ireland Contracting. What did the Steelers' offense do well? The Steelers scored more points in the fourth quarter than they have in all but one entire game this year.
First off, and I've been very critical of Roethlisberger, I thought it was light years better than any game he's played this year. I mean, he attacked the middle of the field. The ball came out well. Sure, he had some, you know, deep throws that weren't great. I think that's always going to be the case. And, you know, not converting on the coverage blow that the Chargers had was crucial, too. But I thought they threw the ball way better and attacked the field much smarter. And that was gigantic. I thought the line was okay. I thought Deontay Johnson was an utter star. I mean, was uncoverable pretty much the entire time. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, I'm encouraged by last night, because if Ben plays that way and they get two more guys back on defense, that'll be the best team they've had all year.
Well, if Ben plays that way, and let's say they get Watt and Minka back, they beat Cincinnati.
Oh, I think so, too. I think then they're in the hunt. You know, I mean, that would be the best version of the Steelers we could ever hope for.
What's your take on the play calling in the red zone and the decision to go for it on fourth and goal on the Steelers' second possession?
My problem with going for it on fourth and goal was how they handled third down. And that seems to pop up too much. So this, when second down ends, I think in those situations you have to have a really good idea of, Are we going to take two shots at the end zone or one? And if you're going to take two shots after the second down play, I think you run it on third then. You know, because if you don't run it on third and it's incomplete, then you have to throw it on fourth and you become predictable. So that the way they handled it leading up to the fourth down call, I had a minor problem with, but it seemed like you might as well give it to Harris on that occasion and see what happens. And in general, and to your first question, I would have run the ball four times in a row, you know, in the other instance when they're throwing it and trying gadgets. And I get
oh, Matt, they finally got a touchdown when he used Derek Watt and ran Najee Harris behind him.
Right.
And I wondered if he had a gun at his head, because it shouldn't be like pulling teeth to do the obvious.
Right. And what's interesting is even the analytics tell you in short yardage situation, don't get cute, just muscle it. You know, I mean, that's been true for 50 years, 70 years. And for some reason, they don't choose to do it. I think one of the reasons is Kendrick Green is not moving bodies in short yardage situation or dealing with power in general very well. But I don't care. Bring Watt and Banner and Gentry in the game and put it up on the scoreboard. You're going to hand it to Harris and do it three times.
Yeah, I agree. But I do want to stay with Kendrick Green and the O-line, because Green is getting manhandled so bad, you can see it on the network feed, which is tough to do on the O-line. And I think that O-line's getting worse, not better, which to me is further reason to muscle up like we're talking about.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I thought that they were making progress a few weeks ago, and then they took a step back, and then again, it's not getting a whole lot better. I thought Chooks had a rough day. Green, it's very obvious to me what he is at this stage. Is he's a guard that's learning how to play center, that doesn't deal with guys head up on top of him, true nose tackles very well, but he does a really nice job blocking in space and downfield and on the move and those type of things. But the whole league knows it now, you know, so he's always going to have a power player right over him. And I give the Chargers some credit. They made a nice adjustment in this game that you rarely see from them. They took Bosa and started lining him up over guards, and particular, you know, on the left side in particular, where they were on their third guard, and he started eating Haig alive. And I think Haig's actually a better tackle than he is a guard. So, yeah, they're obviously the group lacks star power, and I expected a little more, especially in a situation like this against such a bad run defense.
I give Cam Hayward credit. He got double-teamed the whole game, but he kept going and going and going. He ran the guy down from behind. He punched Herbert in the stomach. I guess he's going to get fined for that. But you know, Cam's a great leader, and I'm not sure enough guys follow. I think if some of the scrubs on D that got pressed into service, Matt, would have showed the same intensity Cam Hayward did, maybe you steal that game.
I was kind of looking at it the other way, that they might lose by 40 if it's not for Cam. I mean, he was...
That's what I mean.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know that they have the talent of the other guys, the Bugses of the world.
Yeah, but you can always try harder. I mean, there were two guys lying on the ground when Cam ran Herbert down from behind.
Yeah. No, I think their ability to chase the ball has certainly been compromised, and their effort could probably be partially due to that. Also, guys like Bush taking bad angles, and a lot of their defensive linemen just don't run well besides Tuitt and Cam because they're so big and powerful. But I'm with you. I mean, Cam, to me, is having his best season as a Steeler. I said this on a different broadcast about an hour ago, that including Aaron Donald, I don't think there's an interior defensive lineman getting more blocking attention than Hayward. I mean, he is a total wrecking machine when he gets anything close to an advantageous, you know, blocking situation, which never happens. His effort's phenomenal. His leadership's phenomenal. He has this new ability now to bat down passes like he's J.J. Watt. He does it all. I mean, I really think he's at the height of his powers.
Where does this leave the Steelers? Because at the end of the day, despite the rally, it's a loss. Cincinnati's now in second place. Baltimore almost lost, but they did win. It was not a good weekend.
It wasn't. I mean, obviously, the rest of the division did well. But, man, I mean, the Bills lose. Tennessee loses. The AFC's a disaster. Nobody in the division besides Cincinnati looked good, even though they got wins. I mean, the difference between the last-place team and the first-place team in the division is only a game and a half. And I think you can look at it two ways. Is if you're optimistic, you could say, well, Ben's playing his best. We're going to get defensive players back. And not that the schedule's super hard. It's we have the opportunity to give losses to our opponents in the division and the conference. Or you could look at it and be like, wow, they just missed their opportunity by blowing these two games, especially the Lion game, and they're not going to be able to string together against really high-quality opponents. Well, I'm not sure there are really high-quality opponents.
And against high-quality quarterbacks, too. I mean, that nobody wants to play high-quality quarterbacks, but the Steelers ain't done too good against them, with the exception being the opener against Josh Allen.
Right, and people have been asking me all day today, like, why didn't the Steelers run more? Well, because they weren't playing Seattle with minus Russell Wilson. They weren't playing Teddy Bridgewater. You know, they were playing against an upper-tier quarterback who's carving them up. So, you know, giving the ball to Najee for 3 yards a carry is wonderful in a game that's going to be, you know, 16-13. But when you got to put up 35 to compete, that strategy goes out the window.
Well, and what an indictment that was of the offensive line. And I think Najee, too, Matt, who I think is hitting a bit of a rookie wall, that they only rushed for 55 yards on 18 carries against the NFL's worst rush defense.
Yeah, and they've really faced the two worst run defenses in the league back-to-back weeks, and it has not been anything resembling a dominant effort on the ground. And I do think, you know, the way this thing is built, and Harris is this way too, that he's a sustainer, a compiler, you know, that's not going to be a hit an 80-yarder. They need to stick with it and then have it pay off in the fourth quarter. In this game, that was impossible. Last game, I think they just threw the ball too much, period. And again, to your points, the style of running back, and I'm a big Harris believer, and where they are with their offensive line, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be grinded out, you know, small chunks at a time.
Cincinnati's now in second place in the AFC North, and Joe Burrow's another tough nut to crack. Where are the Bengals at right now? And, boy, it's early to say this, but this is pretty close to must-win for the Steelers, I think.
Yeah, I think it's getting to that neighborhood, too. And the Bengals were playing very poorly for their last two games, and then they went on a bye and played a Raiders team that, frankly, they've hit the wall. I mean, the Raiders have dealt with Gruden and Ruggs and all these terrible things that have gone on in their organization. And they look spent. So I thought the Bengals got an ideal opponent coming off their bye. But the Bengals are a good football team. I mean, their offensive line, to me, can absolutely be had. So Watt is very, very important to this game. But I think they're balanced on offense. I think they have a quarterback that's the face of the organization, much like the Chargers, that is a star in the making. And the defense isn't bad at all either.
Matt, as always, great insight. We will do it again next week.
Okey-doke. Take care, Mark.
That is Matt Williamson. Great job by him. He's brought to you by 84 Lumber, your hometown building partner, and by Ireland Contracting. I got a few tweets. You're going to talk about Pitt. Yeah, maybe a little. I mean, they played and they won, and I guess an okay crowd showed up. Not a great one. I think Kenny Pickett might be a Heisman finalist. He has no chance whatsoever to get it, but he might be a finalist. I'll tell you, would it be like, I don't want to say odd, but that Addison kid, the receiver, leads the nation in touchdowns with 15. He could get the Biletnikoff as top receiver. Pickett ain't going to get the Heisman, but Pickett will have made Addison. I mean, that's the way that works. It's just the way that works. 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, big fan.
Well, no, I just said, I don't know what I said. I don't know what you said.
Double M.
Yeah?
The X at 105.9.
I saw Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience in D.C. over the weekend, Saturday night, and they played no quarter, and I wished I was high so bad. How about some of the results from the NFL? Chicago nearly beat Baltimore, and everyone in Pittsburgh wet their pants. Indy killed Buffalo, and hey, why not the Steelers? Cleveland beat Detroit by 3, and Pittsburgh popped, somehow ignoring that Pittsburgh didn't beat Detroit at all. And then Houston beat Tennessee, which I think is the first time in NFL history that after a certain point in the season, the team with the worst record beat the team with the best record. And might I add, Mr. Friday afternoon picked Houston to not win outright, but to cover. Although he did miss the daily double. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. I want your Steeler angst. I mean, you can't be happy. That was a winnable game. L.A. blew it, and then the Steelers blew it right back. But it's okay, because I'll tell you what they got to do. They got to beat Cincinnati. And I think the only way they have a remote chance to make the playoffs is if they win three of their four games against AFC North teams. They got two games left against Baltimore. They got a game each against Cleveland and Cincinnati. If they win three out of those four, that'll, you know, put those teams on the back foot to some degree. And then you find another win or two and you make the playoffs. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I do not. The Penguins won at Toronto Saturday 2-0. Got up by 2-0 in the first period. Gensel and Carter. Carter needed that. Jake has goals in four straight games now. He's en fuego. But Jari's the story, I guess. He made 26 saves. That's his second straight shutout. That's been done only eight times in Penguins history. That includes two times in the playoffs. And that's the second time by Jari. Look, Jari's a good regular season goalie. We knew that. He made an all-star game, and he helped the Penguins win the division last year. Jari makes some big saves, but Jari blew that playoff series against the Islanders last year, and nothing he does in the regular season can make me trust him. I will say this, though. Good rebound control. That's been a flaw in Jari's game in the past, and right now, he's doing pretty good at that. I was impressed by the Penguins' defensive effort at Toronto. It's not like Jari stood on his head. In the two shutouts Jari registered against Montreal and Toronto, the Penguins blocked 38 shots. And that is all the people need to know. We got the Hebrew Hammer on hold. We'll get to him in just a moment. And in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you about what a great Steeler hero Ben Roethlisberger is. And if you're tired of me saying that, I'm tired of having to. 105.9 The X.